Hey everyone, we're so excited to tell you about our new membership.
We're creating exclusive After Dark episodes, monthly live Q&A and discussion calls,
and even some exclusive merch.
See all the benefits and tiers at patreon.com/glampolyam. And I think that that's what bothered me so much about that article was, like, it was supposed to be, I think, informative to members. Mm-hmm. That the organization was taking CSA seriously, and that they wanted to have policies in place to protect children. And when I read that article, I just felt like this is bullshit. This is legalese.
This is Glamorous and Polyamorous,
a show about exploring polyamory and other forms of non-monogamy after religion.
I'm Kelly Smith.
And I'm Zavi Benjamin. Boy, this is a new podcast. I'm so excited. What is Glamorous and Polyamorous going to be about?
It's going to be about our journey going into polyamory. And I think it's going to be about community and how we have grown from our relationship has grown.
I really like, so one of the bullet points that I have here in like our outline for this podcast is like, the mission for Glamorous and Polyamorous is to provide community and visibility to those who've experienced religious trauma and are embracing polyamory or some form of non-monogamy. And like, at least for me personally, that feels like such a important cause and close cause to my heart, because, you know, I think getting out of a high control religion, whether it be, you know, the one that we're from or any other one, like, I think getting out of that is hard. And then stepping into a world of like non-monogamy and polyamory where there's a ton to learn. And I think a lot of things to unlearn.
Yeah, definitely.
I don't know. I think I'm really excited that we've decided to like do this podcast, you know?
Yeah, I'm so excited about it. I feel like I really want to help people who have possibly left or are thinking about leaving.
Yeah.
And help people that are thinking about joining or looking into polyamory, because it's a totally different...
Joining polyamory? You said that and it was like, oh no.
I know, I just
Is
can't
this
get
that
the...
kind of thing? I mean, I feel like people already kind of like think, oh, is polyamory just another cult? I remember someone saying that to me, I think it was in a post that I put on one of the XJW groups. One of the things was like, oh, you left one cult just to join another.
Yeah, definitely not join as if it's a cult or religion or something.
Yeah.
But it's a new style of relationship, I would say.
All right. So, I mean, let's just get right into it. Like, leaving Jehovah's Witnesses, let's talk about you first. Like, what is it that caused you to leave?
Well, so to begin with, I was born in, my parents were and still are Jehovah's Witnesses.
Yeah.
And I was baptized at 13 years old. I just turned 13, and I did everything right. I did everything that I was supposed to do according to the religion. As soon as I got out of high school, I started pioneering, which a pioneer is, at that time when I first started, was the first year that you had to put in 70 hours a month of what
they've since lowered that, but
door to door witnessing or preaching activity.
Yeah.
I did that since I was 18. I did that for 17 years.
What made you want to be a pioneer? Because I feel like in my case, it just felt like there were pressures coming from everywhere that pioneering was the thing to do, you know? And like, it felt like the people that I liked in the congregation were usually also pioneering. And so it ended up being like something like, oh man, everybody's doing it, you know?
Yeah. And I think that's what it was, honestly. It was what I was supposed to do.
I don't remember you particularly loving service all that
much. No. I feel like I always had such a hard time, in service.
Yeah.
What they would call service. That was the ministry being in,
right.
Involved in the ministry, missionary work.
Right.
I wanted to learn Spanish. I was in Spanish congregation. I went to Ecuador. I went to Panama. I went to all these different places.
Right.
Thinking that I was doing the right thing. Just thinking that
right.
I was doing what I was told to do.
Yeah. And what's fascinating is, like, in the end, it ends up being some pretty colonizer bullshit, right? Because, yeah. Like, you end up going
religion.
To these, like, developing countries and preaching to these people about what ultimately ends up being, in my analysis, a lie.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. I think I feel like throughout my whole life, I had questions about things that I was learning that I just pushed down, that I never thought about. I had never, ever even Googled when was Jerusalem destroyed, because that is what I thought. Oh, right. It was 607. That's what I've been told my whole life. I Google it one day and I'm like, wait, what?
Yeah. I mean, same. But that's the thing is, like, And I think it's worth mentioning, you know, for those who weren't Jehovah's Witnesses, like we, were, you know, the reason why we say that we didn't Google these kinds of things is because they tell you not to.
Yes.
They specifically tell you,
do
not look up information.
Only the information that they publish.
Only approved information.
Yes. Yeah. And it's very, you cannot go outside the span of that.
Right.
And it was something that, okay, I just took everything for face value. Yeah,
yeah.
That's what I always thought. And to suddenly realize there are all of these things that don't add up anymore.
Right.
And
right.
I feel like that is something that was very hard for my brain to reconcile.
Look, I want to dive into those because I do want to give specific examples. So, like, what are those pivotal moments for you where you're like, okay, this is not making sense for me.
Sure. Yeah. For me, I feel like once I had started a new job that I can't always say everything that happened there, but I had started a new job and there was an article, a specific article in 2019 in the middle of summer. It was July.
Yeah.
That is what really pushed me to question things.
Yeah.
Because
that was a big one for me too.
That article was, I would read one thing and then I saw other things happening. We do things this way, but then I saw firsthand of it not being handled that way.
Right. Well, and that's the thing is, like, wasn't that article part of the study edition?
It was.
Okay. So it wasn't for the public necessarily. It was like for Jehovah's Witnesses to study. And I think that that's what bothered me so much about that article was, like, it was supposed to be, I think, informative to members that the organization was taking, CSA seriously and that they wanted to have policies in place to protect children. And when I read that article, I just felt like, this is bullshit. This is legalese.
Yes.
It doesn't feel genuine.
Definitely.
And it doesn't feel like it's actually to help the victims.
Definitely. I feel like that article opened my eyes because I saw one thing and I read another and those two things didn't match. And so that it really made me question things to the point where I was asked, Kelly, how are you a part of that? How are you a part of that?
Yeah.
Meaning the organization. And I had never been questioned about that before, but that made me stop and think, like, this person that I just have started working with is questioning me how I can be a part of this religion. And I had never thought of it before because that was something that I had been ingrained into me since I was young. I thought this is the only thing that I knew.
You know, and I think that that's something that's hard for me a lot is there are a lot of moments where I'll think, like, how did I not know? How did I not question at all throughout the years?
Yeah.
And I think that's one of the biggest things that I've had to be kinder with myself about and kind of forgive myself is that, like, when you are brought up and you're raised in something like this, you don't know anything else. You don't know anything else.
Right.
And so I think things that any other person would be like, that's kind of nuts, you know? Like, for me, we're just regular things that I had believed since I was a child.
Right. Same. And I would think that everyone that knew it would agree with that. They would just think, well, that's what I was taught. I wouldn't question it because you're not allowed to question it.
Yeah.
And there were so many things that I had questions about growing up that you just had to push down. You just had to not think about that.
Can I ask you, like, what, I mean, because I remember some of the feelings that you did describe to me, but like, what were your feelings at that time? The realization of this might not be real. This thing that I've believed is maybe not true is really hard. And so
it's really hard.
What I'd love to hear what your feelings were around that transition, because I know I have my own, you know, feelings about that stuff.
I think for me, it was so incredibly hard because it was so hard for me to, I kept trying to justify it or things would not make sense. I would look at it and I would think, why is the policy this way? Why is it like that? It's not helpful to anyone.
Right.
Why don't they change that? But you can't question it. You can't go against what you're told because that's it. That there's no questioning it. That is the rule. Whatever the light says or whatever the new light is for that year.
Right.
I remember I was a pioneer for 17 years when I went to pioneer school in the first time compared to my book. The next time things had completely changed in the book. And I'm like, why is this changing?
Right.
If this is true, why does it constantly need to be changing?
How do you know someone has been a pioneer for 17 years? Y'all? Don't worry, they'll tell you.
That's funny. It was such a, I don't know. It was such a hard time for me. So,
well, so personally, I'd love to share, like, what were the things that were important for me and pivotal.
Yeah,
for
I'd love to hear.
You know, I definitely feel like that Watchtower that you're talking about was pivotal for me just because it was kind of, like I said again, legalese bullshit.
Yeah.
Interestingly, a cousin of mine a few months earlier had told me to look up the videos of them talking about the Australian Royal Commission.
Oh,
and so I had no idea what that was, and so I looked it up. And when I looked it up, I watched these videos, and I remember my cousin kind of presenting it to me as, you're going to watch these videos and your faith is going to be so strengthened. Just wait until you see how these governing body members, you know, handled these questions. And as I'm watching this video, I'm like, how is it possible that that was the takeaway for him? Because they straight up ask Jeffrey Jackson, do you claim to be inspired by God? And he says, oh, well, that would be presumptuous of us to say, you know?
Yeah.
Which has kind of become a classic and kind of meme almost in the XJW community, because it is. Because it's so fucking ridiculous.
Yeah.
For someone who claims to be the only channel of God.
Right.
To then go in front of, like, a government authority and then say, oh, well, you know, it would kind of be presumptuous of us to say that.
Right.
And that was a big thing.
That was really
a big thing for me.
that was really pivotal for me too, as well, because I remember reading that. You can read the transcripts of it, or you can watch the videos of their giving testimony, and there's elders giving testimony, and they are flat out lying about the policies that they have in place. He's lying. And they even tried to, that was just so eye-opening for me, because they didn't want Jeffrey Jackson to be a witness. They tried to get him out of it, saying that he didn't do any of the policies. He wasn't in charge of making policies. He was only on the translation committee, which we all know he is very much involved in making the policies. And they tried to claim that he wasn't. That's a flat-out lie. And we're supposed to be built on integrity and honesty. You think that, why would you need to lie about that? If that's what you believe to be true, if that is the truth, why do you feel the need to lie? Why do you try to get them out of it? Why wouldn't they want to be? Can you imagine, like they say, one of the apostles trying to get themselves out of testifying before court? They wouldn't do that.
Yeah, I mean, who knows if those apostles were even real? You know what I mean? And that's the thing is, like, I think that that's what also, like, broke down for me was like, is what the Bible is real? Is God real? Is any of this shit real? And does it matter? You know, because I think, you know, I do want to transition into our next segment, because we want to talk about, like, discovering polyamory and getting into that. And I do want to kind of mention it as a transitionary thing, because it certainly was for me, because I felt like at the end of being a Jehovah's Witness, like I hated it. I didn't want to do it anymore. And so I feel like for me, it was natural to kind of just, once I had left, is like, okay, I want to explore all the things that I want to explore. All right, so I want to get right into it about, like, our kind of discovery about polyamory. Before we get into that, though, it's probably a good idea to, like, define what polyamory is so that, you know, there's no misconceptions.
So polyamory is having or being open to having more than one loving, committed relationship with the full consent and knowledge of all of the parties involved, basically, is a sweet and short way of defining it.
I think that's perfect. So when did you first discover the word polyamory? Like, how did you hear about it?
So I feel like I've heard of the word polyamory, I think, before in movies. I've seen it come up before. I didn't really know what it was, and I kind of confused it with polygamy, which a lot of people confuse it with polygamy. It's not the same thing. Polygamy is usually where it's one male with multiple wives. But it's very different than polyamory is very different than that. But I think the first time that I heard it was on our road trip to California. You brought it up to me. That was the first time I had actually discussed
it. January 2019.
Yeah.
Yeah. I first heard about polyamory in 2015. A colleague of mine was polyamorous. And I remember he posted on Twitter that he was going to go for a weekend away with one of his partners, one of his other partners, because he was married and had kids. And, you know, my eyes kind of just like widened. And I was like, whoa, this is a thing that you can do. And so I had never heard of it until then.
Yeah. And when you had described it to me, I was like, wow, that's interesting. Like, I thought it was so cool because you are allowed to basically define the relationship however you want it to be. It can be with one person. It can be with two people, three people. It can be with multiple people. Everyone is that's involved has full knowledge and consent, and each relationship is different, but yet at the same time can, you know, somewhat be intertwined.
You talked about like the misconception of like associating it with polyamory. Were there any doubts in your mind about it? Like, were there any things that for you were like, oh, I don't know?
I feel like, yeah, at the beginning, it was all unknown. But I feel like our relationship had been originally, you and I were both raised in the religion, and then we got married, and then it was just what we were told was the way that a relationship is.
Right.
A man and a woman get married, and that's it.
Yep.
And you stay together for the rest of your lives.
then you die.
And then you die. And that's what you get.
Right.
So the idea of, wait, oh, what? You can also love other people at the same time? I think some people think, no, how can that possibly be? But yet... There's an example of a couple that has children. They have more than one children. You don't love one child over the other. Say, oh, I only love this one this much.
Well, and some parents.
Some parents.
Yeah, yeah.
But I feel like the idea of it was so eye-opening to me. Like, wow, yes, okay. The thought of being able to have more than one emotional, loving relationship was exciting for me because here we had just come from leaving, but it was a journey for me because first I had to deal with leaving the religion.
Right.
And how did I feel like that? How did I feel about that? Because it was so difficult to understand, like, everything that I had believed my entire life was not real, not true.
Yeah.
And so then I felt like, well, what is the point? What is the point of everything? And then it was a matter of, okay, this is how our relationship was defined for us. Now we get to define it for ourselves.
Right.
We get to decide how it is that we want it to be. And to me, that was so awesome to be able to say, okay, we get to define our relationship.
Right.
And as long as we are open with one another and communicate with one another about our wants and needs, then I feel like this is a great idea.
I remember very clearly, I think, being interested in the idea of, like, having more than one partner of, you know, I would say polygamy to a certain extent, like, in the sense that, you know, I mean, in the Bible, there are several examples of people who had multiple wives, you know. And that's not a weird thing in the Bible for some reason. And yet, in modern day, they were like, oh, you can't do that. And I always wondered, like, why, though? Like, I remember, you know, there's that scripture of, like, Jehovah will give all of your desires of the heart or something like that, you know?
Yeah.
And I remember asking... one of my friends, Junior, I was like, hey, do you think that means that I'll be able to have a threesome in paradise? And he was like, no, I don't think it does. I think, kind of like I had said, I think that there is certainly an element of, like, there being sexual exploration to be done, which really was appealing to me because... Mm-hmm. I mean, I think ours was my first meaningful sexual relationship. And so I didn't really know what that was like with anyone else. And I don't know, there's always that curiosity, right? Of like what that feels like with other people. I think there was also, like, admittedly some insecurity as well. There was a part of me that was like, oh, is this only good because Kelly and I, like, know each other really well already? Mm-hmm. Do I secretly just suck at this, you know?
Yeah.
And there were insecurities around that as well. But I think all in all, you know, polyamory was this thing that kind of appealed to me because I think at first, like I said, there was that kind of sexual exploration. And so that's why I think at first some of the swinger stuff was kind of appealing to me, although that kind of lost it because there's a lot of biphobia against men in that community. And so I felt like as time went by, it kind of went from kind of this idea of, like, being in an open relationship to swingers to, oh, maybe polyamory is the thing that fits me. And that's kind of where I've stayed.
Yeah. And I think that it was something that was appealing to me because here you go from leaving this religion that controlled every aspect of your life.
Right.
It was your whole entire life was wrapped up with it and involved with it. So your immediate friends, your family, your community was all involved with that. So leaving that, you leave that, you're left you're left with nothing.
Right.
So you have to come up with, so I think for me, the idea of, wait, I can have a community of more than one person that loves me, that wants to be with me, right, that we can all be in like a community together, or be in, you know, we can all get along and have a great relationship all together. Like the idea of that was so appealing to me because after having lost everything, of course I wanted to gain some of that back.
Right. Yeah. It's interesting because I do think that I resonate a lot with some of those feelings. I think what it was really appealing to me, this idea that maybe I could create community with partners, basically, you know. But like, I think, I don't know, I think that those are some, to a certain extent, some of my naive ideas from the beginning. You know, I think that like I went into polyamory expecting a certain thing or wanting a certain thing. And I think actually experiencing it has been a different journey. You know, I think actually what I've gotten out of it has been different than what I thought I was going to, you know, because I mean, right now I don't have another partner. You're my only partner. And that's okay. You know, I don't, it, to me, that doesn't make me feel like less polyamorous just because I don't have another partner right now, you know?
Yeah.
And, but I think that that hasn't always been the case because again, what I wanted out of polyamory, what it actually is in my life has changed from when we started this journey to where we are now. And I think it'll continue to change. And I think that's also something that I really want to stress for this podcast too, is like, my purpose is not to give advice through this podcast necessarily.
Yeah.
It's like, it's more so to share my journey and the things that I've been through and how that has kind of shaped my journey. For anyone who, you know, might be in a similar spot.
Yeah. So. What were you, what'd you say is the key takeaways then that you have learned or experienced throughout this?
I mean, I think that the key takeaway for me throughout this life experience has been to, as corny and cliche as this is going to sound, is follow your heart. Is follow your heart, because I think that I had doubts about being a Jehovah's Witness. I had doubts about being in the organization, and there was a part of me that just didn't want to listen to that. Mm-hmm. Didn't want to listen to what my gut was telling me, that there was something wrong here, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I mean, there are moments where I'm like, oh man, I really wish I would have figured this out sooner, but you know, you can't do that. So I just feel like I'm just glad that at the moment that I did, I was able to say, you know what, this doesn't feel right, and decide to leave and live a life for myself, for me. Because, you know, ultimately it's like, yeah, I feel like I lost all these friends and family over a religion, over something that I don't view as true. And ultimately, what I feel like I gained was the ability to choose my own life, was the ability to, yeah, like form a relationship that I actually wanted, and have the freedom to pursue other connections that I want to.
Yeah.
You know? And I think also one of the biggest things for me has just been like, I don't have to feel guilty anymore. I don't have to feel guilty for every little fucking thing that I do or say or think. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that is just so freeing.
Yeah.
As traumatic and as difficult as this journey has been at times, I wouldn't give that up. For that, for the freedom, for the ability to be myself, be me, and like find happiness.
Yeah, I would definitely agree with that. I think the realization that everything that you knew, everything that you thought you knew, is not true, is a lie, is so hard to grasp.
Yeah.
That once you understand that, then you realize, okay, then what's next? What am I going to do next? And so once you figure that out, then you can choose what you want it to be.
Yeah.
You can choose the relationships that you want to have and how you want your life to be. And that is something that no one can take away from you.
Yeah. Well, I just want to thank everyone for listening to our first episode of our podcast. We have so many more episodes coming your way. I'm so excited to be doing this. I'm so excited to be doing this with you.
I'm so excited too.
Like, thank you. If you are not subscribed to our podcast, please do so. You can subscribe here on YouTube. You can subscribe on Spotify. You can subscribe on Apple Podcasts. Like, anywhere you get your podcasts, you can subscribe there. We would love to hear comments from you. If you are an XJW or you have left some kind of fundamentalist religion, we'd love to hear from you. If you're exploring non-monogamy and polyamory, we'd love to hear your stories. You can either leave them in the comments or send us an email at hello@glampolyam.com. We're around the internet at glampolyam, so follow us there. Anything else?
Hit the subscribe button and follow us for more.
Thank you so much for listening. If you know someone that might love our show,
please share it with them, as that's the best way for new people to find the podcast, and it would mean so much to us.
Thank you.